Wow, wow. God is doing something awesome, and my wife's helping me out here with my glasses. And you know what? You know you're at that point of life where I've got an iPad, and I printed my notes, and I'm comparing which one I'm going to see better before I can actually share with you. I just want to grab some water as well. But look, I don't want to distract from what the Holy Spirit's already saying. And it's important that when we see the Spirit moving, and especially when Danny brings that word, God wants to break out and wants to break in, and He wants to get rid of some of the hardness of our hearts, and He wants to deal with those things in our lives, that the word is a prime. This, we're going to look at something today, which I believe the Holy Spirit wants to get us to that place. He wants to remove some of that stubbornness and potentially some of the stuff that's getting in the way of what God wants to do in and through us this morning. So, and I'm going to be looking at a subject called the power of the tongue. We're going to look at the tongue and just how, what a powerful thing the tongue is and our words are. But before I get there, I just had a prophetic word. I believe God laid on my heart that there's somebody here this morning that's been running from Him. And this is off script. But I think I spent a lot of my life running from God, so this is probably touching a nerve. But I just get the sense the Holy Spirit's saying that somebody's been running from God. And almost like Jonah, when Jonah ran from God, God had to, you know, shipwreck him, put him in the belly of a whale, spit him out on a beach. And I think I've gone through some of that in my life, but I just get the sense this morning that God's saying to, if you're running from God, God says, this is your morning. This is a morning for you to turn back to me, because I have a plan and a purpose for you. The words that I've spoken over you from a young age, God says He wants to call into fruit now in your life. I don't know who that's for, but I just get the sense that God's calling somebody back to Him, and that this morning He wants to do some of that restoration, not only restoration, but to be called back into the purposes of God. You've been set aside for God, and He says He is jealous over you, and He wants you back. That's the word I get. You know, when we look at the power of the tongue, when we start to look at this, there's so many stories. When I was preparing for this, I'm so sorry, I might bombard you with stories this morning. And I'll start with the first one. My mom is hilarious when it comes to the tongue and what. And I can recall growing up in the home, and I'd watch my parents. I wonder if they're going to watch this. You might have to cut this bit out. It's quite scary when you preach and you start referencing family, huh? But they used to have these arguments, and my dad's name's Jack, and she'd be like, "Hit the road, Jack," and then she'd go, "But make sure you come back." There was other times where she'd go jump in the lake, and then she'd go, "But make sure you get out the other side. I don't want you to drown." And you can imagine that in the heat of an argument, it's pretty funny. I mean, we used to like roll with laughter, my brother and I, when we used to hear her. But she had this thing. She had this thing about wanting to speak life. That's what I took from that. She couldn't, like, there's nothing in my mom's vocabulary that would ever speak death over anything. Over anything. Like, you could present her with the worst scenario in your life, and she'll only have life to say about it. That impacted me as a kid. As funny as it was, it really did impact me. And I guess I didn't understand it. But when you start to look at Scripture, the evidence of what God has done in her life was manifested in the way she spoke. So, you know, and there's so many examples. I mean, when people speak things over us, and when we use our words, the effects that those words have. Another story. I was in children's church growing up, and I was quite a naughty kid. We were caught. This is confession time. This is confession time. We were caught. I was caught. Not we. I was caught, and I'd stolen. We had these things called faith rands, where you learned the memory verse, and you get these pretend pounds. effectively. And then the treasure chest would come, and you'd be able to take your faith rands or your faith pounds, and you could buy chocolates and sweets. And I struggled to get these faith pounds or these faith rands. I couldn't remember the verse. And every week the kids would come in, and I'd watch those that had learned it get chocolates, and I'd sit there. So one day I stole the treasure chest. True story. And we carried it into a playhouse called my friends. We opened the treasure chest. We ate as many chocolates as we can, and we tried to sneak it back, but we got caught. My dad was a leader in the church. Didn't go down well. But I remember that youth leader that had to deal with me as a child. And one meeting, the Spirit started to move in children's church. And he looked over at me and he went, "God's got his hand on your life. And you can't see it, but his fire is going to burn in your heart, and you're going to run hard for him all your days." That time, that was a joke. I mean, it was. Words. Words spoken over me as a kid, like this little lighty sitting in children's church, that I can never get out of my head. I can never get out of my head. Words. It's just words, isn't it? Or is it? You know, words are so powerful. Words are so powerful. Let's have a look at some scriptures just to unpack about the tongue. Can we go to James 3, verses 3 to 12? Yeah, James is talking about it. I've jumped two verses, and just follow me through this as we unpack this. "We put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. If we put bits in the horse's mouth to obey us, we can turn that whole animal. Or take ship, for example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder whenever the pilot wants to go, or the captain. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell." I'm going to continue reading. I just want to read this whole portion. Verse 7. "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison." Verse 9. "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Can a salt spring produce fresh water?" I'm going to stop there. When we look at this passage, this passage doesn't make a lot of sense. And I'm going to just work with me here. In verses 3 to 5, this is like the manual for what the tongue does. It's almost like the how-to of the tongue. And it describes the tongue as an object. And if I hadn't read it, I don't think I would have believed if somebody told me what the tongue is capable of. What the tongue is capable of. You see, it really doesn't make sense, in as much as it's the smallest part that can set an entire direction. It's the smallest thing that can change the whole course of something. It's the very thing, like a rudder on a ship that can steer a ship. The tongue. Have you considered your words are steering and bringing direction? You know, it literally like blew my mind. He compared it to turning an animal, controlling the mouth, turning it a whole. Like, I don't even like horses. Or I struggle. Sorry, they're horse people in there. Talk about the power of the tongue. Well, I'm afraid of horses, and I think God can deal with that in me. They're these big animals, and he's referring to how big it is and how something small in its mouth can suddenly swing it in any direction and move it. It's incredible. How can such something so small be so dramatic? Then we move on to verse 7 and 8 there. And I'm just going to unpack verse 7 and 8. It's after now he's described what this thing does. It can turn a ship. It can do all of these amazing things. He goes in, there's a problem. There's a big problem with this thing that is so powerful. And he says, we can even tame animals. We've tamed everything. All the creatures, one translation even speaks of tigers and things. We can tame animals. There's no taming the tongue. The tongue cannot be tamed. And he says, and he actually says, no human being can tame the tongue. And we're going to look into this what that means. Because man in his own strength cannot tame his tongue. Impossible. It's impossible. We need God. And we're gonna start to look at what that looks like. And then verses 9 to 11, he starts to go deeper. So now we know what the tongue does. It sets direction. We also know that the tongue is can't be tamed. It's difficult to tame. Then he goes one step further from verses 9 to 11, and he goes deeper into the issue. And he starts to say, blessings and cursings come out of the same mouth. Blessings and cursings come out of their mouth. And he says, he speaks of a tree bearing fruit. He says, how can an olive tree bear fruit that's not olives? How can a saltwater spring produce fresh water? So he goes into the heart of the issue. And we're going to go all the way into that this morning and just fully understand what it is. So let's explore the power of the tongue. And I'm going to center on the best part of his analogy, one of my favorite subjects of all time, as he starts to look at the power of the tongue and he compares it to a fire. I loved that analogy. And actually, when I started to look into this, it started to make more and more sense to me. And he speaks of that small spark that can set a whole forest on fire. I think if we want to fully understand the power of the tongue, we need to understand the power of a fire. And I've got a video I want to show you if we can. Have you ever seen this video? I was obsessed with this video. It was one of the reels that came out. So what you've got is a guy that's got some old plants on his house that he wants to burn. And he reckons, look, I'm just going to slide this up. It's going to be fantastic, and I'm going to burn this section off. My wife's going to be so proud of me. This is going to be an incredible moment. But just keep watching. She's filming. He keeps referencing her. And okay, look, he's got that plant sorted, that's for sure. The wind starts to pick up. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I was obsessed with this video. I watched it about 100 times, and I've shared it a million times. And then the adjacent tree next to it, those are like, I think they're pine trees. Correct me, I might be wrong. It's gone. That tree's gone. Can you imagine? One little spark. He just wanted to burn those rubbish plants outside of the back door. Suddenly, that's gone. Now she's getting worried. We've taken the audio out. It gets a bit manic. We've taken the audio out. Suddenly, both pine trees are gone. Both of them are gone. But if you swing, when the camera swings a little more, you start to realize those pine trees rung alongside the house. Now, can you imagine the panic? Look, there's the house. Those go right the way around the house. The video stops there, thankfully. But can you see how something so small suddenly, do you think it changed their afternoon, that? I think it changed their afternoon. I think, let's watch that one more time, and I'm just going to talk. You watch it while I talk. See, I think that changed their whole afternoon. I think the conversations they were having before and after this were dramatically different. I think that set panic in. I could imagine, unfortunately, I don't know exactly what happened after this, but the fire brigade probably would have called. People would have rushed in. They may have even lost that house. That's the reality. He may have lost that house, you know, if those things weren't in place. And he had a pretty good idea in the beginning, just to burn some little plants off. And for me, this is one of the best analogies of the tongue. This is one of the best analogies of what the tongue is capable of. Because that small little spark changed the course of their day, probably their week, possibly their life. One little spark, one little good idea. I mean, again, confession time. I think why this touches a chord with me is something very similar happened to me. So I'm speaking from experience, and the Lord reminded me when I was sharing this video, look at these people. The God was like, what about you, pal? Like, I remember once clearing our garden. I cleared it and I cut down every tree, and like, I went to town. I even bought a chainsaw, Gary. I bought a chainsaw. I was very excited about it. And I chopped everything down. And I thought, I'm going to make this big fire. I'm going to burn it all, get rid of all the dross, deal with it. And I lit the fire, and the house was on one side. We had a barn on the other. It was wide. I mean, it was this width of this room probably. And I thought, it's safe. We're safe. Everything's safe. That fire just got hotter and hotter, hotter. And like, I was like, whoa, I'm getting more and more scared, a bit like that. Started to get it out of hand. But unfortunately, it wasn't burning outside of what I'd put there. But I had to get a hose pipe out and start hosing the shed just to keep the shed, a big shed, safe. But in the same fashion, it was a good idea. I was trying to do the right thing. This guy's trying to do the right thing. That little spark changed the course of their life. And the incredible thing about a fire is it burns independently of the person that lit it. It just burns. It burns. You put it there, and like, I love fires. I make barbecues all the time, so I love fires. But I can light the fire and I can go inside, and I can do my own thing. And our tongues are like this. This is what our words are actually like. This is what the Bible's trying to tell us. Our actual words are like this. We speak something. And how often do you forget even what you've said? And you walk away. And you don't realize it's a spark. It's a spark. Somebody's going to be left with your words. And you're going to carry on with your life. If I asked you all the conversations, do you remember any of the conversations you had last week? Well, I'll answer for myself. I can't. But I wonder with what I've said, what I have left and deposited, what fires have started, what independently of me is going on in the hearts of those that heard me last week. That's the power of words. That's what James is trying to tell us. He's trying to say, when you speak, your words live. They continue to live. If we look at creation, how did God create the world? He spoke it into being. He spoke it into being. And you know, when God spoke the world into being, it continued to, it was creative words that created the world, not only created it, but sustained it forever. So the life of God says he's created us in his image. And if he's a God that can speak something into being, You better understand the words coming out of your mouth contain life. The Bible actually says life or death. But they live beyond just hearing them. They continue to live. You see, a fire is not only destructive. Can we bring some of the other pictures up? Fire can be good. Couldn't resist it. I'm not sure why the vegetables are there, but we will pass that. But fire can bring comfort. It can bring warmth. If we move to the next one, men's camp. I didn't choose these pictures, by the way. I might be in them. But a fire can bring comfort. It can bring warmth. It can bring life. It can bring food. Even after a fire is burnt, if we move on to the next one, it can still bring life even after a fire is burned through something. For me, this speaks of when somebody, if a brother or sister comes and speaks about discipline issue in my life, it's sore. It's like the fire of their words has burnt me, but it brings life. It's a healing word. Feels painful, but it actually brings life. And I just think in context, fire describes our words better than anything. So we can bring, as the word says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. What you say is going to live long after you've said it. How are you using your tongue? How are you speaking? How do you speak to your children? How do you speak to your spouse? Because what you're saying is going to continue in their hearts. It's going to continue in their hearts. You know, I think there's one negative thing I happened at school. How many people can remember a negative thing spoken over by the teachers, by parents? Those are words. Those are words. You still remember them now. You're sitting there and you can recall them. Do you know what? You probably can even recall the moment, the feeling, the situation. One teacher made me stand on a table and tell everybody how bad I was. That was fun. How did she know? No. But it's words. It's words that have been lit, fires that have been lit in your heart that you've carried your entire life. But how many good words have been spoken over you? How many times has God spoken prophetically over you? Spoken into the gifting that he's placed in you? Spoken into the things that he wants you to move into? Because our God talks and he speaks to us. And I think we need to be responsible with our words. Is this making sense? You see, I think one of the quick demonstrations, just to quickly assess our hearts, is when you speak, are you critical? Are you crude? Are you sharp? Are you judgmental? Are you gossiping? Those are destructive fires. All of them are destructive fires that will destroy what they come into contact with. They will burn in the wrong way. They will hurt the hearers. They will destroy reputations. And sometimes they're more revealing, and I'm gonna get on to what they where they actually come from. Or are you, when you speak, are you building up? Are you speaking life over a situation? Are you actively looking how God sees something? Because that's going to be those fires that are going to help you bring life, bring food, bring hope, bring restorations. But controlling the tongue is incredibly difficult. I mean, James goes into saying it's impossible for us to control our tongues. And it's like, that was quite disappointing when I was like, oh, there's no, it's impossible. It's quite like when you read that, you're like, oh, you know, you're telling me about the potential of this thing, then you're saying it cannot be tamed. What are you trying to say to me? I mean, for me, one of the hardest times I have to control my tongue is when I'm doing homework with the kids. Like, it is very difficult. Like, I go in with the best intentions. I prepare my heart. I go in and I spend the first 5 minutes explaining the question, running through the potential answers, pick an answer. And normally at that point, Laura steps in. Because she knows, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's just something I struggle with. But it is hard. When are the situations you find it hard to control your tongue? When are the situations, you know, when we're tired, you come home after a long day, whatever it is, there's always something. There's always something. That makes it difficult. Like, whoa, sorry. It's just water. Don't panic. Oh, some more's coming out. Why did water come out the cup? Why did water come out the cup? Was it because I tripped? Probably. Trip. I can tell you water came out the cup because water was in the cup. Water came out the cup because water was in the cup. This is what James is getting to in that final passage. This is actually quite difficult. So I want to attribute what comes out of my mouth to the circumstances around me, to the people and situations around me. But James doesn't say that's true. So let's look at Matthew 12, 33 and 34. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? And this is the part. This is Jesus talking, the final part. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Water came out of the cup because water was already in the cup. The way we react and the way we talk is evidence of what our heart is full of. It's the evidence of what's in us. It's not what's around us. It's what's in us. That's actually a lot harder to deal with than somebody or your child who might not know the homework. It's a lot harder to deal with when I've got to examine my own heart and go, why, Lord, am I acting like this? What in me do you need to deal with? This is what the prophetic word this morning was coming through. What, God, do I need to deal with if my words are not right? I can get my words right here on a Sunday morning with you guys. I could do that. But when my boss has annoyed me or things aren't going right, the abundance of my heart's going to come out of my mouth whether I like it or not. This is what James was saying when he says, you cannot tame your mouth because it's not your mouth that needs taming, it's your heart that needs dealing with. You can't do anything about your tongue and how you control it. But thank Jesus he gave us a way to deal with our hearts. Thank Jesus he provided an answer. When David prayed, he said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Please, Lord, create something in me that doesn't exist. I don't have a good heart. I myself don't have a good heart. But thank Jesus, his creative power can change my heart into his likeness, into his authority, into what he is like. Not what I'm like, Because we don't want to know what I'm like. I want to know who I am in Him. Because in Him, I get everything I need. In Him, He transforms my heart. In Him, He can do all things. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you're in Christ, the old is gone. Your tongue and the old way of talking and the old way of speaking and the old way of thinking should be gone. This is why he says, and he goes into that verse, he says, good and bad come out of the same thing. How can this be? But it shouldn't be so. We shouldn't be praising God on a Sunday and then cursing our brother on a Monday. You know, we shouldn't see so much faith and feel so good, speak so much life, and watch it deplete as we go on our weeks and as we encounter life. Because the transformational power of God is a complete work. God put something new in us that didn't exist before. We should be seeing situations differently because He's given us new eyes. When I look at a situation now and I look at a child perhaps that's not behaving properly, like my mom's voice comes in my mind because I want to say, you're not doing it right. There is something wrong. Why are you like this? That's what my spirit wants to say. But my God says, look at that child through faith. Look at that child through faith. Look what I'm going to do in that child's life. Speak life over that situation. Don't curse it. You have a moment to choose how I want to see the situation, how God sees the situation, or how you think the truth should be told. We need to speak life. We need to see faith. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. Like that horse with the bit in its teeth, Jesus controls our mouth. Like that ship with that little rudder, Jesus is the captain that determines the path. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose life. Speak life. Look over the situations of your life now. And if there are things that aren't right, I'm not saying ignore it, but I'm saying speak faith, speak life over them and see what God can do. Because like that fire, you're lighting a spark, your words live long after you've said them. And watch what God can do. And I'm going to close with this. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, by testing, you may discern what the will of God is, good, acceptable, and perfect. And 2 Corinthians, we know that one where it says, we have been moved from one degree of glory to another. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. If we've made mistakes with our words, we've said things that are wrong. God's trying to reset us this morning. God's trying to reset us. There's no condemnation. But let's understand that He wants to move us from glory to glory. He doesn't want us to continue to gossip. He doesn't want us to continue to speak death over situations or to curse our brother. He wants us to move from glory to glory. We need to put those things aside. And Philippians 1 verse 6, it says, and I'm sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. We've got to trust that God's going to take us all the way through this. Amen. Did that make sense? Good, good, good. Can the worship team come up? I think we've got some time. We've still got some time left. I think it would be good to respond to this. I think, especially with the word, the prophetic word that came through. And I was chatting to the guys. I'm not entirely sure how, but one of the things God placed in my heart definitely was the words that have been spoken to you. Maybe there's some fires that are still raging in your heart. And I believe this morning God wants to deal with that. Because if you're living under that, if you've come in agreement in any way with the words that have been spoken over you, you could be living short of what God has for you. And we don't want that. We've got to break that. We've got to break that this morning. And I think that, so that's one. And perhaps if there's anybody who struggles to control their tongue, I think we've got to come back and we've got to ask, Lord, create a new heart in me. Create a new heart in me. Amen.